Our Easter service. So glad that you're here, and I know we have many visitors with us. Some of you, your families go here, and you came to be with your families, and others are here just not having family, but just made their way in. And I'll say to every single person here this morning that you are not just here by coincidence. You're not just here because a series of circumstances led you here this morning. You're not here by accident. I believe that every single person here this morning is here by divine appointment. I believe you're here this morning because God wanted you here. Let me just remind you of some things. I remind you, first of all, that God made you. I remind you, second of all, that He knows you. And I remind you, third of all, that He has a plan for each one of us as individuals. Every single person in this room, from way in the back to back here in the choir, God has a plan for every single one of our lives. And in the plan for your life, it was ordained by God that you be in Fellowship Baptist Church at 11:30 on April the 8th, 2007, in an Easter service. And you're here, again, because God wanted you to hear so that we can tell you and so that you can hear what Easter is all about. I mentioned it in Sunday school. I'll mention it again. Easter is not about a bunny. Easter is not about colored eggs. Easter is not about new bonnets, new dresses, or new suits. Easter is about how much God loved us and what He did to save us from our sins. It's an amazing story. It's a gracious story. It's a wondrous story. It's a story all about Jesus. It is a wondrous story. A story that was pictured and foretold by the prophets in the Old Testament. A story that started to unfold in Bethlehem when the Son of God became the Son of Man. And one of the things that makes this story so wondrous is the way God told us. He could have written it in the sky. I mean, He could have just, with clouds, written the gospel story in the heavens above. He could have sent angels to tell us. I mean, He used angels at different times in the Bible to reveal different things to mankind. And He could have had angels come and preach the gospel to us. He could have just used men to share it. And He does use men today, but He could have just used men. But God did much more than that. God sent His Son to live out that story before us. He sent His Son so, as the Bible says, we could see God. Philip, one time, one of his disciples asked Jesus, he said, "Show us the Father." And Jesus said, "Philip, I've been so long with you, don't you recognize Him? Because if you've seen me, you've seen God." He sent His Son to tell us and to show us what the wondrous story was all about. The Bible does say, as God invites us to salvation, "Come unto me." But He just didn't do that. He sent His only begotten Son into the world that said this, "Follow me, and I will take you to the Father. Follow me, and I'll show you the way of salvation. Follow me, and I'll show you how to take care of your sins." That's what makes it wondrous. He just didn't paint it in the sky, just didn't have angels tell it. But He sent His Son to lead us to God. So why is this story so important? Why does God think it's so important, this story is so important, that He brought you to this place this morning? Here's why. Because we're all sinners. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I teach a little Sunday school class of kindergartens and first grades and second grade and third grades, and I asked them this morning, I said, "What's sin?" And one of them said, "Well, it's when we break one of the Ten Commandments." And I said, that's right. And so we got to talking about the Ten Commandments, and they admitted that some of them have told a lie. They admitted that some of them had not always obeyed mom and dad, and obedience is part of honoring. And so we quickly came to the conclusion in our Sunday school class of a couple of adults and the rest, kindergartners, first grade, second grade, and third grade, that every single one of us were a sinner. Now, if we had the time in this service like we had in Sunday school, I'd help every single person here realize that that is true. So you may be sitting here this morning and say, hey, preacher, I'm a pretty good guy. I mean, I treat my family right, and I support them. I'm a good worker. I'm a good citizen. I mean, everything I know to do that's right and good, I do it. But it keeps coming back, and I'll just go back to the Ten Commandments. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever not honored mom and dad? And I would remind you that the Bible says that if we've broken the law in one point, we're guilty of all. And so one lie makes us a sinner. One act of disobedience makes us a sinner. One act of putting something before God makes us a sinner. And so I hope you'll give me your assent this morning and agree with me that you're a sinner, because the Bible says we're all sinners. The Bible also says that the wages of sin is death. And we talked about it again in our Sunday school class. Death is not the physical death that we sometimes think of, but death is the fact that our sin separates us from God. Just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they sinned, they didn't immediately die, but they got kicked out of the garden. They got separated from God. And that's what happens to us. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin, if we die in our sin, we'll be eternally separated from God in that place called hell, the place that God prepared for Satan and his angels. And I know you say, well, preacher, you know, on an Easter Sunday morning, you ought not to talk about hell. You ought to just talk about the love of God. Well, my dear friend, you do not understand the love of God until you understand what he saved you from and what it cost him to save you from that place called hell. We're all sinners. The wages of sin is death. The only way to be saved from our sin and the only way to avoid that punishment is to come to Jesus. You can't do it any other way. You can't do it by being good enough. You can't do it by joining the church. You can't do it by being baptized. All the things that man can think of that he thinks, well, if I do this one thing, it'll make me right with God. Or if I turn over a new leaf and never sin again, I'll be right with God and I'll get a place in heaven. That's not what the Bible says. That's what we want to say because it makes more sense to us. But the Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. The only way to heaven is to follow Jesus. The only way to heaven is to come through him. And that's the wondrous part of this story. That's why Jesus came, to die for our sins, so that we could follow him to the Father, and so that we could get that home in heaven. There's a verse in the Bible that many of you probably know. Most of you, many of you could quote it. All of you have probably heard it. But it tells us why God sent Jesus into the earth. It tells us why he sent him to the cross to die for us. It tells us why he has you here today to hear the story. That verse is in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You're here today because God loves you. You're here today because he wants you to have a home in heaven. And you're here today because he wants you to hear the truth that the only way to get that home in heaven is to come through Christ who loves you. It requires more than just God's love to save us. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So somebody has to pay that price. We're sinners. Somebody has to pay the price. Somebody has to suffer death. Wednesday night, we're studying the book of Mark, and we're at that part of the gospel where Jesus is beginning to teach his disciples why he came. Of course, they were expecting him to come as the Messiah. They were expecting him to come as the king and to overthrow the Roman rule. But Jesus was teaching them, that's not why I came. I'll come again in the future for that reason. But the reason I came this time was to pay the price for your sin. And he told them what was going to happen. He said, I didn't come to be the ruling king. I came to be the Savior. I came to be the one that dies for your sin. The night before the crucifixion, he took his disciples into an upper room. He broke bread. And he said, this bread represents my body, which will be broken for you. He passed a cup. He said, this cup, the wine in it, the juice in it, represents my blood, which will be shed for you. And he invited the disciples to eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And in the same way, he invites every single one of us to eat of that bread and drink of that cup. From the upper room, Jesus led his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed for a little bit, and then a mob led by Judas, one of the 12, came and arrested him. They took him to the high priest and the other religious rulers. In the mockery of a trial, they convicted him of blasphemy. They said, you've claimed to be the Son of God. And little did they know that he was guilty of the very thing that they accused him of being. He was the Son of God. They took him to Pilate. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. I'll release him unto you. But bowing to the pressure of the crowd, Pilate delivered him to the soldiers. Those soldiers beat him and whipped him, spit on him, plucked a beard and a hair out of his face and off of his head. And then they took him to a place, a little hill outside the city that looked like a skull, a place called Golgotha. They nailed his hands and his feet to a cross and stood that cross between two others that held common robbers. And as Jesus died on that cross, he bore every one of our sins. I told the little kids in Sunday school this morning, every lie, every act of disobedience, every other sin that we've committed, the Father put on his Son as he hung on the cross. The wages of sin is death. But when Jesus cried from that cross, it is finished. What he was saying is, I've paid for every one of the sins that any person has committed or will ever commit. His body was broken, his blood was shed, and he paid the price of sin, the price that we all owed. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took Jesus down from the cross. They prepared his body for burial. They wrapped cloths around it and put spice in it as they did back in that time. And then they laid him in Joseph's tomb, a grave that was cut out of a rock. And they rolled a big stone across the entrance. And for 3 days and three nights, the body of Jesus lay in the tomb. Jesus had told his disciples, just like Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights, I'll be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Then came Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene was the first one to the tomb. The stone was rolled away, and she looked inside, and the body was gone. She runs and tells Peter and James, and they run to the tomb, and they go in, and in the tomb was his grave clothes and the napkin that covered his head, but there wasn't any body. The tomb was empty. Peter and John left, but Mary stays, and she looks inside again. She sees two angels, one sitting where his feet were, one sitting at his head. And you go over to the book of Luke, and the angel said, Who are you looking for? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Just like he said, he is risen. Don't seek the living among the dead. He's not here. The grave's empty. He's risen. Christ is risen. He died to pay the price of sin. He arose to defeat death and the grave. He says to his disciples back then and to us today, if you believe on me and if you believe on what I did for you on Calvary, I'll save you from your sin and give you a home in heaven. And again, you get there no other way. You can't buy it. You can't be good enough to earn it. You can't pay enough money. You can't turn over a new leaf. You cannot get to heaven any other way. Salvation comes only by Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You only have two choices for eternity. You have hell, which was made for Satan and all his demons, and you get there by rejecting Christ. And then you have heaven, where God lives, that was made by Jesus for each person that receives him. And this morning, the good news for every single person here is that there is a place for you in heaven. There's a place for you in heaven. And God wants you to come. But the only way to get there is come by way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. So here's the question, and then I'm done. Will you go? Will you come? God brought you here to this place this morning by divine appointment. He brought you so you could hear the wondrous story of how much he loved you to send his only son to die for you. And he says, if you'll receive him, if you'll believe on him, he'll give you that home in heaven. You say, okay, how do I do it? It's easy. God made it easy. ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner. And again, if you have a problem doing that, would you see me after the service in just a couple minutes? I'll help you realize that you're a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he is God's son, and believe when he died on Calvary, he was taking all of your sins and paying for those sins. And then see, call upon him. Just call upon him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And here's how you do it. You don't have to say these exact words, but words something like this. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the punishment of sin, but I believe that Jesus is your son. And I believe when he died on Calvary, he paid for every single one of my sins. I'm asking you now to save me and give me a home in heaven. The moment you do that, God will save you from your sins. He'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll get the construction going on your mansion. And he'll fill you with the righteousness of Christ. Will you do that this morning? That simple thing. Would you just put aside everything else you've thought that you had to do to get right with God? And would you come the way that God says to come, by way of the cross, by way of Jesus? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this story. It is a wondrous, amazing story, a story of your great love for each one of us. And I pray this morning, Father, if there's just one person in this auditorium this morning that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, that right now, right where they sit, they call upon you. They tell you that they're a sinner. They tell you that they deserve hell. They tell you, Father, that they believe in Jesus Christ and what he did for them on Calvary. And right now, in the quietness of this moment, they'd ask you to save them. I pray, Father, for every man, woman, boy, and girl that doesn't know Christ. I pray right now they'd ask him to be their Savior. Pray for the Christians that are here. I pray, Holy Spirit, if you've spoken to us about other things, maybe some for baptism, some for church membership, some about things that are in our life that shouldn't be, I pray we'd be obedient to the Holy Spirit too. And I pray, Father, during this time of invitation, that those that don't know Jesus and those that the Holy Spirit's spoken to about something else would just be obedient and do what you've told them to do. Bless this time, Father. Help, again, us to be obedient. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.